continuing our conversation about this issue of NSFAS, and let me just remind you, if you've just joined us, we received a WhatsApp from a worried parent yesterday, and it said, "Please help. My son was accepted at UJ. He called them today and was told he should pay 3,500 rand for registration because NSFAS will pay later. Is it true? What should I do? Because I don't have that kind of money." And that is why we've managed to get on the line UJ registrar, Professor Kinta Berger. Prof, good afternoon to you. Very kind of you to make yourself available for this. Is it correct that students coming into the university who have qualified for NSFAS funding will have to pay the registration fees out of their pockets anyway?
No, it's absolutely not true. NSFAS will share with universities the NSFAS approved students. I'm talking just first years, because for continuing students there's a different process.
All right.
That have been approved last year already for NSFAS. So for new NSFAS students, we receive a list from NSFAS to say these students were approved, and then of course I also communicate to students. And for all those students that have received now NSFAS approval, they don't buy anything. So there's no minimum payment that, for the tuition or for the residence.
All right.
So, you know, I think in this particular case, it may mean that there was not yet approval from NSFAS. And in that instance, the university can't take that risk to say that if a student, if we don't have any confirmation that this student will be NSFAS funded, then we can't, you know, pay that for the student. Because what actually happens is we unblock the student. The university carries that fee.
Oh, right,
and then,
right.
But if NSFAS has approved such a student, then we know that the money will follow later.
Okay.
So we don't wait for that funding from NSFAS. We wait only for the confirmation that the student will be funded. And then that student, we say, is unblocked for registration. So no fee is then required. That is for first time students that come in.
Right.
For students that were already on NSFAS last year, that is an automatic process as long as they meet the academic requirement that they had to pass 50% of their modules. Then they will automatically also be unblocked for registration. So for NSFAS approved students, there's no fee that they pay.
All right. So it's possible that this parent, is it possible this parent has perhaps fallen prey to some kind of communication error between NSFAS and the university at all? Because it seems to me that that's coming through in quite a few of the conversations we're having with parents this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, we receive many queries, you know, from students that come and ask to say that they've been admitted,
mm-hmm.
And they want to register now, but they haven't heard anything from NSFAS. Then we assist, you know, we also access then the NSFAS database and look whether we can find any record for the student. We have contact with NSFAS as well. Then if there's nothing for us on the system, then it means then, you know, that it's not yet captured on NSFAS system. So from our side, we also try and assist the students coming in to see whether we can find out more information. Maybe, you know, a student may have been approved by NSFAS, but as you said, there could be a communication issue, maybe a cell phone number that has changed or anything like that. So then we go straight to the NSFAS database and we inquire on behalf of the student.
Mm.
So from that side, I mean, I think the parent must make contact with us and so that we can then do what I've just described, you know, and see if we can't find out more.
All right. Thank you very much for your help. Professor Kinta Berger, she's the registrar at the University of Johannesburg. Now, Dr. Randall Carol. Why am I not getting the surname right? Help me out here, Randall. How do you pronounce your surname? Is it Carolison?
That's the worst intonation I've ever heard.
tell me how do you pronounce it? Apologies.
Can you repeat that?
Your surname, how do you pronounce it?
Oh, Carolison.
Thank you so much, Randall, and thank you for coming on to the program. So, of course, we're listening to the voice now of the NSFAS administrator, Dr. Randall Carolison, who is going to explain these rules in a little bit more detail to us. We've had lots of messages expressing frustration with the system, Dr. Carolison, so thank you very much for coming on to explain. I want to start, first of all, with a call that we took earlier from a parent who said, it was a message from a parent who said they've tried to get hold of the call center, they've tried to access information through the website, there's no response, and there's no one they can physically talk to about their particular case, and so they know that their daughter's registration application has been rejected, but they don't know the reasons why, and they can't seem to be able to find out.
Okay, so what we've done is updated all application status on the My NSFAS portal. So
yes.
Any student can go to the portal to look at his application status. And if you are approved, it will say approved subject to registration at university. So once you register at university or public institution, the matching takes place and then you are funded by NSFAS. If it says document outstanding, it means that we have been trying fruitlessly to get the documents from parents.
Yes.
And we would like them to therefore supply us with additional documents that are required to process the applications. There will be a third category which will say rejected.
Yes.
And that means it did not pass the criteria for funding, either because of your SASA status not being correct or you are exceeding the threshold for funding. Now, many parents will be complaining because they say they declare a certain level of funding, which is within the qualification framework. But when we check the income on the credit bureau, we find that they earn more than what they declared.
Mm.
Now, it could well be that their household circumstances are changed. You know, people get divorced or
yes.
You know, people lose their jobs.
Yes.
And we won't know that. So we ask these parents when they get this rejection letter, status, that we that open up the appeals process. And we have a appeals process that we got installed so that you can declare this additional information for us to process your application.
All right. Is there ever a situation where you ask a student whom you have approved for funding to pay a deposit out of his or her own pocket and say you'll refund it later in the year?
No, not at all. If you are a NSFAS approved student, you don't pay any registration. For that, we have an upfront payment scheme, which we give to the universities to make sure that the NSFAS students don't have to pay any upfront payment. So otherwise, we guarantee their tuition and their acceptance at the university. So no university should be charging any registration fee. With regards to communication, I'm a little bit lost to see that some universities are still complaining that we don't have the information. Because our systems are fully integrated with universities,
okay.
And they can look up on our systems, like many do.
In real time.
Ascertain the application status of universities, of applicants. So, and that is necessary so as to prevent them from having to have long queues and turn people back.
Right.
So that's the tested and it's working here.
Okay. Do you mind if we take a call, Dr. Carolison, from, I think, a mother, Michelle in Kensington. Hi there, Michelle. What are your difficulties?
Hi Joanne. Yes, I just don't like the anonymity of it all. Aren't there any real people we can talk to find out what is happening in our particular cases? For example, the appeals process. Isn't there someone who we could say, dear Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so?
All right. It's a valid question. Dr. Carolison?
Yes. Okay. I think I caught off, but we are issuing a press statement to guide people through the appeals process. Unfortunately, I should say, I must admit to that, that our call center is absolutely flooded with calls this time of year, and therefore we apologize for the number of drop calls. We have strengthened that. We will be employing a lot more people to assist in the call center. But there is a clearly mapped out appeals process. In fact, we've got even what we call a soft appeal,
yes.
where people can just provide us with a explanation and, of course, some of the documentation that will validate or vindicate or support the application. Like I said, if a parent has lost a job and you send us that information, we can then proceed without having to go through a full appeals process. So we've got that in place, and like I said, we'll be issuing a media statement later today. There is application review. It's actually exactly that, application review at nisfas.org.za, where you can submit this application to.
Are you done with all those reviews of rejections?
Yes, we complete all the reviews. Remember, in just prior to Christmas, we had about 109,000 rejections that were communicated on an automated basis to students, which I was very unhappy with.
Mm-hmm.
I've ordered a complete review of that, and we touched every single one of them, and of that, about 60,000 have been now approved.
Oh, fantastic.
More detail.
All right, that's great.
So we've done a lot of work, but there remains outstanding issues like people not having submitted their documentation and so on. So we really, really urge people to submit their documentation in order to expedite this to us.
Okay.
And like I said, if you email that, I've got dedicated people sitting on that email address. You can also email appeals@nisfas.org.za, and that way we can expedite it, like we've done. I mean, we, on a daily basis, people contact us and we expedite that.
All right. Could we take a call from Roslyn in Bryanston? Hi, Roslyn.
Good afternoon, Jan.
Go ahead, Roslyn.
Jan, my issue is, I also applied, my daughter applied for funding through NASA.
Yes.
She was approved last year as a first student.
Mm-hmm.
But when the university opened, we didn't have any confirmation as such from them. And when I called UCT, they said, no, just bring your daughter, NASA will sort it out. I then went, I took her, she enrolled. I wasn't asked to contribute a cent or anything. NASA, according to what I was informed, they were responsible for tuition, accommodation, meals, and everything.
Yes.
So in September, so every month I used to get a statement from NAFSA or from the university with interest on the amount and whatever. I queried it, and then UCT said to me, don't worry, NAFSA will eventually pay and the interest and everything. So in September last year, they paid 150,000 rand.
Yes.
So the score was brought to zero, but I had to pay 1,610 rand, what they call a family contribution. But that I only had to pay after they settled my daughter's first year bowl.
Okay.
I'm not sure what it's
what
for.
Is, yes. Okay, let's ask Dr. Carolison. Yes. Rosalind, let's ask Dr. Carolison what that actually is for. What is a family contribution, Dr. Carolison?
I've got no idea. That's a university imposed levy. We don't have any such thing at NISFAS.
Yes.
And I'm happy to hear that our interventions in September yielded results. You would recall that the administration started beginning of September and there was massive backlog. So we've cleared that. And if the students should now continue to be funding as a returning student, you know, as a returning student status. But I've got no idea. I'll find out from the university why they levy additional administration fees on top of this. They're not supposed to do that.
They're not. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that. One last question to you. We had a caller who said that her daughter was approved for funding last year. Last year's fees remain unpaid by NISFAS, and she now has to pay the fees for this year. Is it possible that there could have been an oversight with this kind of backlog of 12 months, Dr. Carolison?
Yes, let me just remind you, last year we had a backlog of 8 months before students got paid. We found through interacting with the university an additional 150,000 students in the system, which were previously unaccounted for.
Yes.
We have processed that, and it's now being funded. So it could well be that there'd be an additional people that you know that we are not aware of. So I would certainly welcome this person to send the details through to appeals@nisfas.org.za and mark it for my attention.
Right.
I will get somebody to expedite that if he's a valid NISFAS applicant.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on to the program. Just a note to Rosalind there. I see you holding still, Rosalind. Just remember that what Dr. Carolison has said is that was not a NISFAS fee that was levied on you, the family contribution. That looks to be an institutional fee for some reason, and the university is not allowed to levy that fee. So I think you need to go back and pursue that with them and just make sure that you get your money back if that's possible.